certainly a blessing to be here. Thankful for the prayer that was offered up. Would ask that you would continue to pray for each other, for me as I stand before you, that the words that are spoken today would find a resting place in your heart and hopefully make a difference in our lives. And I think about that song we just sang, and I think it really sums up life. And sometimes I think the majority of God's people really don't get it. I want to mingle with the saints. While here on earth I stay and meet them on that golden shore on that eternal day. Our families here are temporary. A lot of God's people have a tremendous amount of problem with that. They're temporal. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. The Bible plainly and clearly teaches that we'll not be given in marriage in heaven. We won't have the Joneses and the Smiths and the Venables or whoever else. We won't be congregated in little corners over there. Our Father will be God, our Heavenly Father. We'll be each other's brothers and sisters, just as your family is here. But that family will be permanent and everlasting. And that's what we have to look forward to. And we ought to want to mingle with God's saints, with our brothers and sisters, while here on earth we stay. And it won't be long. It'll be a flash. We'll meet them on that golden shore on that eternal day. It won't be long at all. You know, No, as many of you know, isn't it amazing how fast Christmases come and go? New Year's begin and start. Especially the older you get, the faster they seem to come. It seems like time begins to accelerate as you get older. And time draws nigh. But even in a long life, in comparison to eternity, this is nothing more than a blink, a moment. So I'd ask that you would consider that fellowship. You know, fellowship among the saints, I believe, has lost a great deal of what it was when I was a kid. People gathered more. You know, he said, I want to mingle with the saints. He didn't say only during the time of formal worship. If you read the Old Testament, you'll find that God's people dwell together many times. They were together. It embraces the formal worship service of God's children. But who better to be with than your brothers and sisters that you're going to live permanently with throughout all eternity? We ought to desire that. That is something that we don't do as much as we once did, and I think it's a blessing that we're missing out on. I think that we ought to be together as much as we can. And that's for many times, that's not in the formal worship service as we have here this morning. The church is God's people, and we ought to be together. We're going to live permanently together throughout all eternity, as hard as that may be to believe. Things will change. We'll love one another in a way that we can't imagine. But that's not really the subject on my mind. I just wanted to bring that point out this morning. I've missed being at church, and just missing one Sunday and 3 weeks of Wednesday night makes you very thankful for the time that we do have together. And it makes me wonder what it would be like if we didn't have this time together. If something happened in our country that we were not free to come to the house of the Lord. You know, there's some folks who probably think, well, I'd get along just fine. But I tell you, I know for a fact sometimes you don't know what you're missing until you don't have it anymore. And that can be in any situation or circumstance of life. So be thankful for God's blessings in this country. We talked about in our prayer, praying for the leaders of this country. Imagine what God done to Nebuchadnezzar. Think about it. A man who ordered the people to bow down to a golden image, to worship a God that did not exist. And yet God sent this man out to literally graze among the animals, if you would, the beast of the land for 7 years. And he says, same hour was fulfilled, Nebuchadnezzar was driven from men. In other words, he went out there. And at the end of his days, in verse 34, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. You know, God can return unto you your understanding. God's people stray away, but God can return you to the understanding that He is Lord, He is King, and He is the ruler of this universe, and He ought to be the ruler of our lives. I hope everyone had a Merry Christmas. You know, that's a great blessing, a time that many of us don't have to spend as much time working, and with the snowstorm, some people were off an extended amount of time. But God blesses us to be with our families, to spend more time around this season a lot of times than we have at other times during the year. I hope you had a very happy and a very Merry Christmas. There's an old saying, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And I want to talk about happiness this morning. I think it's an extremely important subject to be spoken on. Are you happy? We wish everyone a happy new year. I'm hoping and praying that you have a happy new year. But I hope it's not just a happy beginning, that it's a happy ending. Happiness is a state of mind, I believe. You have to choose to be happy to begin with, but I believe it goes far beyond just making that choice. But you have to choose to be happy. The Bible will help us understand what brings true happiness. I've seen people that will tell you they're not happy. They will tell you that if I had X number of dollars, I would be happy. You'll find out that generally as a rule of thumb that people that are happy with a little will never be happy with a lot. We're talking about happiness that is long-lasting and beneficial to the child of God. We're not talking about a few moments along where you have a good laugh or you're able to smile. We're talking about a lasting state of mind that embraces a picture in this life that's beyond the world that we view. Solomon told us in Ecclesiastes, he says, "What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun?" He said, "It's vanity and vexation of the spirit." If you can't live your life with a view of that is above the sun, I'm going to tell you today, you will never find that lasting joy, peace, and happiness that God says in His Word that you can have. That God says in His Word that we can have. You know, we see people that go through crises in their life and they think, if everything would just turn around the way that I want it. You know, I've heard of midlife crisis all my life. I've seen it happen. I still don't understand it. You know, the Bible tells us, and back over in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a time and a season for all things. We as human beings sometimes get unhappy with the season in which we're living in. But God says there's a beauty to every season that you live in, all the way from a young baby, an infant, to an old person. There's a beauty in that person, in that season, in that time of life. But sometimes we're not happy with that season in which we live. We find ourselves in a crisis or an identity crisis. And generally what you find is a person who no longer identifies himself with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying he's not a child of God, he or she or it, person. But they've lost touch with the Lord. They've drifted away from God. And you see great changes come in this person. I can tell you, if you ask most of God's people here today, are you happy? The answer they would give you is, oh yes, I'm happy. But if you know folks, like you know your husband and your wife and your children, your brothers and sisters in Christ, at least a great number of them, you know in a very personal way. You know truly if they're happy. You know if lasting happiness is in their life. I'm not talking about they're able to smile on occasion. I'm talking about can you be happy when the storms come? They're coming. Every one of us is going to have them. Storms are coming. The waves are going to become boisterous in our life. There's something going to happen to each and every one of us. Can we continue to be happy? If our view is not above the sun, we can't. We can't even begin to think about it. When the storms come, our lives will be shattered. Our lives will be disrupted. Disappointments will take us in the wrong direction. We'll have all kinds of crises in our life, and we begin to lose our identity with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I've tried to preach, Brother Gale's tried to preach, that this world and this life is not about us. It's not about your wife or your husband. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that we do in this life is about Christ. Unfortunately, a great number of God's children never get that point. They live their life in misery. I know some of God's people who are unhappy, and they're miserable all the time. Matter of fact, they're not happy unless you're miserable. You find people like that. Misery loves company. Nothing's ever good. They live by Murphy's Law. If anything bad could happen, it's going to happen to me. They wake up with the attitude that today's going to be bad. And unfortunately, it's bad. It is bad. When the good comes in their life, they can't even see it. Attitude is a lot of it. That's where it starts. It's where it begins. It's a conscious effort and choice that you and I need to make to be happy. But it goes far beyond that.
It goes to recognizing what God says. We're told in the 144th Psalm in the 15th verse, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. You'll find no other verse in the Bible that'll teach you about lasting happiness where the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not the center of your attention. You know that? Not one time in the Bible does it teach you to be happy when you make an idol in this world. When your husband is more important, or your wife is more important, or your children's more important, or your job's more important, or your grandchildren are more important to you than the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll not find a verse in the entire Bible that directs you in that path. I'm not saying they're not important. We're told in Colossians chapter 2, or chapter 1, I believe it is, that Christ should have the preeminence in your life. In that verse, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. What does that mean? What does it mean to be Lord? It means that Jesus is in charge of your life and you're willing to do what he asks you to do. You're willing to do what he commands. You're willing to read his word and follow his precepts, the teachings of God. I hear people say, well, I'm not a reader. I don't read. Well, Jesus made a sacrifice for you. Maybe if you made a sacrifice in this life, God would open your heart and teach you something that you might follow in his ways. I wasn't a reader for many years of my life, but this book is essential to a happy life. Absolutely essential. If you're not willing to read this book and to understand what God says, it tells me that you love misery more than you love happiness. You know, I believe every child of God, if you ask them, their desire in this life is to be happy. Who of us want to be unhappy? You know, Sister Jamie challenged me, and she might not like me saying this, but she challenged me to have a positive attitude. And you know, when you're raised amongst a bunch of people that are negative, and I was, and I'm not here to condemn my father, but the Venables are a bunch of negative folks. It wasn't that I inherited it, but I'm a creature of habit, just like you and I are. Every one of us are creatures of habit, are we not? The environment that we live in has a lot to do with the attitude or the positiveness or negativeness we see in life. It really does. You know, in the last few years, when we close out a year and we begin to enter into a new year, we talk about New Year's resolutions. Over the last several years, I've had enough discipline, and I, by the grace of God, to do some things that I've never done. I stopped dipping snuff for 3 years ago. I'd done it for 45 years, and I'm to the point now that I don't care anything about it, don't want it, don't like the smell of it. And I'm not here to pat myself on the back. I'm just telling you it takes discipline. We began a few years back, or a number of years ago, Sister Suzanne and I, reading the Bible entirely through. We just completed reading the entire Bible through again for our third or fourth time. We don't do it every year, but it takes discipline. It was a challenge. It was a challenge. We took on the idea of losing weight and maintaining that goal, and we did. But I tell you, this challenge of having a positive attitude, which leads, I believe, to happiness, is probably the greatest challenge that's ever been set before me. It might be before you, because negativism is something that becomes so habitual in our lives that we don't know any other way. And I tell you, it's hard to truly be happy in your life if you're always negative about everything that goes on. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. It's a view of God and life beyond the sun. Friends, I'm here to tell you, I've experienced it. Most of you know Shane. He had a sister and his mother. They were here one day and they were gone. I cannot begin to tell you how fast you can lose something that you have grabbed hold of in your life. We don't know if we'll be here today. As you reflect back on the past year, we look at folks that are no longer here with us. And I feel certain when we come to the close of 2016, there's somebody that you and I love that won't be here with us. Death is sure and certain. Every one of us are going to face it. And somebody we know is going to face it. But there is no timetable for our life here on the earth. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Let me tell you, Jesus wasn't talking about eternal life. I know folks that say, well, I'm going to get through this miserable life. I hear folks say, I wish the Lord had come back so I could get out of this misery I'm in. Friends, that's not what God ever intended life to be. God intended for you to live an abundant and a happy life right here and now. Yes, all things will come to an end that we know on this earth when we go to be with the Lord in heaven. When we live with that permanent family throughout all eternity, we're going to have a happiness that will be beyond anything we ever know. But the psalmist said it right. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. That God is a capital G, meaning the only true and living God. The little g's of the Bible are the gods that you and I create and put first ahead of the God of heaven. And when we do that, we'll never have lasting peace, lasting joy in our life. We won't. We seek it. We try in every way to find this happiness, but this happiness will not last unless the Lord Jesus Christ is at the center of your life and at the center of your marriage and at the center of the life of your children. It will not last. It will not continue on the way you want it to. You may be happy for some seasons. You may smile and laugh once in a while, but it won't last. You remember I stated that I believe if you ask the people in this congregation and the majority of God's people, are they happy? They would tell you they are. But some of the characteristics of happiness is a person who can smile and laugh on a continuous basis. Now, there's more to it than that. But I tell you, people that are frown and are negative, that never can laugh, never can be happy, withdraw themselves from people, they can tell you they're happy, but if you know them very well, you know that's not the truth. I know some folks in that condition. I've seen them throughout the course of my life. They would tell me they're happy, but I know them well enough to know that they're not. Happiness has evaded them. They don't really have happiness. But the Bible says you will not be happy unless God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has the preeminence in your life. That's what the Lord says. Let's notice what Jesus says in John 16 and 33. We're all familiar with this. He says, in the world ye shall have tribulations. You can get ready. The storms are coming. Folks are going to die. Children are not going to behave the way that you wanted them to. They're going to grow up and things are going to happen in life that you don't like. It just ain't all going to work out the way you planned. You're going to have bosses that you don't like. You're going to have jobs that cause you to struggle. On and on goes the list of things that are going to make you unhappy. Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulations. Every one of us is going to face trials. Not a one of us are going to be immune to it. But be of good cheer. That only doesn't mean be happy. It means be courageous. He says, I have overcome the world. When you're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, when he's in the place in your life that he ought to be, when you're to the point that you say, Jesus is in control or in charge of my life, and I'm willing to do whatever he commands, you've gotten to the point that you can say, Jesus is Lord over my life. We're going to look at some verses as we end today. It talks about a warfare and how God's people have been taken captive by Satan. Can you imagine that? By our own carnal flesh, and Satan's there, the great adversary, the enemy that we have. He goes on in John chapter 15 and verse 11, I believe it is. These things have I spoken, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. You know, we serve a God that came and gave his life that not only would you have eternal life, but that you would have an abundant, happy life right here and now. But our inability to focus and our inability to look beyond the sun, above the sun, and see the backdrop, the big picture on a regular basis leads us away from truly being happy so often. We're so caught up in the temporal things that are here today and they're gone tomorrow. They really, really don't matter. Solomon made it clear. We make so much out of so little. Jesus said, or Paul said in Romans 8, it's our light affliction. I know some of you want to jump up and say, my affliction is far more than light. But Paul said, compared to the glory which shall be revealed in you, it's very light. This is nothing. For what's to come, this is nothing. We ought to be happy that God is so good to us. His truth endureth to all generations. His mercy is everlasting. God is a merciful God. And in spite of us not acknowledging the Lord, in spite of us walking contrary to his ways, he's been so good to us. The Lord has been so good to us. That song is, it just touches my heart because it's so true. You know, when we get in a state of unhappiness that oftentimes leads to a state of misery, we cannot see good when it comes. We're so focused on the bad that we don't acknowledge the good in our lives. And yet, we live in a free country, liberated at this given time or at this present time, able to go and come as we wish, to worship as we wish. And most people, many of God's people, will never pay attention to a statement like that because this is all they've ever known and they think this is the way the world's always been. Everything else is like going to the theater and watching it on the screen, and when it's over, you get up and walk away. They have no relevance to the idea that things could change in this country to the point that you're not able to come to church. You're not able to worship. That you might be like they were in England in those days, hiding out in caves just to worship the God that you love and that you serve. We get content. Are you happy? We get back over to that verse in John 16 and 33. He says, "These things have I spoken to you that in me you might have peace." I tell you, people look for peace everywhere in this world other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, peace is in him. Joy is in him. Joy is calm delight and cheerfulness. It's happiness. It's in him. It's so hard for you and I, and I'm guilty of this. It's so hard for us to grab hold of. Joy is in Jesus Christ. It's not in your husband, your wife, your children. It's not in your job. It's not in the fact that you're not living in the age or the time that you want to live in, that you're getting old and you're not like you once was. That's not what life is about. It's about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And one day he's going to cure all our faults and all our problems, and we're going to be in heaven, and we're going to enjoy life forever. But we ought to enjoy it now. We ought to be happy in the Lord now. But I tell you what, if we're focused upon the carnal things of this life, the little G's, the things that we put up to try to get happiness, I promise you, they're going to disappoint you. Somewhere down the road, you're going to lose somebody that's going to shatter your life. And if you're not grounded in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, it can even ruin your life. I've seen it happen time and time again with folks. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Take your yoke upon me and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Do you want your soul to have real rest? Are you interested? You know, most of us will walk out today and we'll say that was some good words, but will we actually begin to read God's word and will we have change? You know, I pray if you're not happy, if you don't have lasting happiness, if your job's not right, if your boss is no good, whatever it is that is contrary to your way of thinking, if people don't treat your family right, and we're going to deal with that, God begins to tell us how to make this change, and that's what we want to look at. If you're not continuously happy in this life, then God tells us how to get that way. He does. He doesn't leave us a wonder. If you want rest for your weary souls, joy that you can only find in the Lord, peace that only comes in the Lord Jesus Christ, real joy, real peace, lasting happiness, it must be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Philippians. And we're going to find out how this process begins. In verse 13, the Apostle Paul said, "Brethren, I count it not myself to have apprehended." Now, first of all, we're going to move on from that verse, but apprehend means to attain. And I believe as we continue here, what we're apprehending is rest for our weary souls, joy that is indescribable in the Lord Jesus Christ, peace that this world can never give us, satisfaction that comes in having a view of God that goes far beyond the view of this world that we fixate our eyes on so often, is daily. He says, "But this one thing I do." There's one thing I do, Paul said. "Forgetting those things which are behind." That's just where it all starts. I'm going to tell you right now, brothers and sisters, you can't go back and change a thing that's happened to you. The time that you've wasted and not redeemed and not spent with your sons and daughters, your parents or grandparents, whoever it might or might not be, you cannot change that. You can't go back and change the ones who offended you. This is all water under the bridge. You can't unring the bell. You can't send the water back up the river. These things have happened. They're water under the bridge. You can't do anything about them. Paul said to forget them. Forgetting those things which are behind. This is where this begins. I know for a fact, even in my own life, you can survive and you can live out here, you can eat and breathe, but you can't live if you can't forget, or at least put that that's behind you, where it's not the focus of your life. You can't change the way people treated you. You can't change the way your boss treats you. You can't change the way your children are. But you can change. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Right here and now. Forget yesterday. Forget last year. We always want to reflect back. But let's reflect and let's put it away. It's all about today. Change starts now. You know, I thought about God, and God's not a God of chance. He doesn't give us a chance to be saved. He actually came and saved his people from their sins. The Bible is clear on that. But you know, we have an opportunity to change our lives with the help of God's almighty grace. We do. We have a chance to make some wrongs right, if you would, by looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He says here, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I pursue toward the mark, the goal, for the prize, the reward. He says, I'm going to pursue after something. I'm going to forget these things in the past. I'm going to forget everybody that offended me and my children. I'm going to forget all the bad jobs I had. I'm going to forget all the times that me and my wife or husband didn't get along. I'm going to put those things behind me. They're water under the bridge. I can't go back and make those wrongs right. You can't change a thing in your life. But you can change going forward. We can choose to be happy. And I believe that's part of what he's talking about here. I press toward the mark, the goal. That mark is a goal that we set for ourselves. And the prize is a reward of the high calling of God. What is that prize? I believe it is lasting happiness. It is joy that you can only find in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice there, it says the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We can. The Bible doesn't leave us to wonder how we're going to do this. If you're not happy the majority of your life, day in and day out, and that doesn't mean you'll never shed a tear. We sorrow not as others who have no hope. Yes, we do sorrow. But when we have the big picture inside every day of our life, when we understand that our home is not on this earth, when we understand, as Abraham said, that we're pilgrims and strangers, we seek a city where God is, which hath foundations, whose God and our maker is God, a heavenly city. We seek those things. It's a view above the sun and not below the sun. It's an attempt to see what real happiness is, and it's not in the things of this world. You know, the Bible tells us that there's even pleasure in sin for a season. But we're talking about some joy, some rest for your weary soul, some peace that will last in this life. That when the storms come, when the waves are boisterous, when the disappointments come, when your children don't do what you'd have them to do, or your grandchildren, or your brothers and sisters in Christ, our family, our church family, not in this church only, but everywhere, we're going to have those disappointments. We have such a view that we maintain our happiness because our hope is in Jesus Christ. It's in Him. It's not in our family. It's not in this world. It's temporal. Our family's temporal. Here today and gone tomorrow. We get so caught up in it sometimes that you'd think we're going to live here forever. He says, I press toward the mark, the goal, or the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's where it begins. First of all, we need to understand, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. If Jesus Christ is not the first thing on your mind when you go to get up in the morning every day of the week, and if he's not the first thing on your mind or the last thing on your mind when you go to bed at night, there's something wrong. People would say, well, how can I do that? Well, we're going to get to that here in just a moment. I believe that we're going to find out that the warfare that we're battling with our adversary and our old carnal flesh is one that it's hard to overcome. A lot of God's people don't overcome it. That's why they go through the wide gate and the broad way that leadeth to destruction. That's why they don't understand and enjoy the happiness of life here and now. You know, I'm talking about being happy today, being January the 3rd, and you being just as happy as you are today, and I hope you are that happy, come December 31st, 2016. And you know there's going to be some disappointments. You know there's going to be some troubles that lie ahead. You know there's going to be some real problems. You know there's going to be some challenges that are going to be hard to meet. We're not going to understand all those things, but we know they're going to happen. Some of us may lose our job. Some of us may not be living this time next year. Somebody won't in this country. Could very well be somebody in this congregation. Some of us seek things in this life, and we just believe if we had them, we'd be happy. But I believe until we're happy and content in the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll never find true lasting happiness. We'll continue day after day to seek it, with one disappointment after the other. It begins with forgetting the past. Paul lets us know that. And dealing with today. That's why we have another chance. We always talk about starting over at the beginning of a new year. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We make New Year's resolutions. Oftentimes, we don't fulfill those resolutions. We start off and we do good for a while. And then we drift. We fade away. But I believe that's the importance of studying and reading God's Word. When you do not pay attention to God's Word, when you do not study and read God's Word, then you're telling me it doesn't matter to you in life. You don't need it. See, Jesus is not in control of your life. You don't believe that Jesus needs to have lordship over you. You're going to reign in your own life and be your own God. That's what it says. You know, the biggest God we have is ourself. I'm guilty of that. You know, I want things my way. We all want those things. But I tell you, in Jesus Christ, we can look beyond those things. Turn with me, and we'll spend a little time in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and begin to look at some verses I believe are relevant to what we're saying. If you're not as happy as you want to be with every aspect of life, if you're not to the point that you can be counted among those people who are happy and God is the Lord of their life, then I believe this is where it starts. It starts in forgetting the past, putting those things behind us, and setting as our goal in life the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the high calling, that calling that is above the sun, where he sets and reigns in glory. That's where it begins. Notice what 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." We're fixing to have in the backdrop of a setting here something of a military action, a warfare. You know, we're told in Galatians chapter 5 that the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary one to the other so that you cannot do the things that you would. How many times do you not do what you should do in service to God because your flesh drives you away from that? Happens a lot. It's happened many times in my life. There's a warfare going on. But we get to verse 4. We're not to follow after the flesh. Every one of us that are living here and breathing are walking in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I'm telling you, we spend so much of our life so determined that if we can get to this position, do this, have that, have the right people, the right circumstances, the right situation, the right relationships, that we can be happy in life. We seek them from the route of our carnality, from our flesh. But we're fighting a war. And it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not. When we're seeking happiness from our flesh, Satan's winning in our life. He really is. We don't even know it, but he is. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Is there any strong influences in your life that direct you away from God daily? You know, God didn't say we couldn't have the blessings of this life. God just said, I need to be first in every portion of your life. I'm not saying you can't have the things that God has created and blessed us to have. The problem is when we let those things become more important to us than the Lord. Our goals are wrong then. We're not pressing, reaching toward the prize, the award of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're not forgetting the past and seeing what we need to do moving forward. The Bible lays it out. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, because the flesh is lusting against the spirit continuously in each and every one of us. The appetite of our flesh is far different than the appetite of the spirit. He says, mighty through God to pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself, can't already say that word, against the knowledge of God. That's an amazing statement in there. Anything that you imagine, anything that you lift up in this life that takes preeminence before God, that's your family, that's your job, that's your work, that's any relationship that we have, family relationship, friend relationship, that comes first and comes before God, leads us to be taken captive. This is a picture of a warfare. This is like POWs that have been taken captive by an evil adversary like Satan. And it reminds you as we begin to look at these verses of what the gospel means here. It's like the Green Berets, you might say, or the Navy SEALs who go in to liberate prisoners of war who have been under the rule of an evil leader and have been liberated and returned to their rightful ruler. Is Jesus in charge of your life? Is he in charge of your life? Are you willing to do what he commands? Or is his teachings too difficult? He says we ought to keep his commands. He said they're not too difficult to keep. They're not hard to keep. You know, when I said I pray, and I do, and I will pray for each one, that we are a happy people, because we're going to have struggles. Jesus made that clear. But he said, be of good cheer. When our focus is on him, he says, we'll be able to maintain that happiness. We'll be able to see beyond this world. We'll understand that we are with the saints of God right now, and we're going to be with those who went on that golden shore, on that great eternal day. We're going to mingle with them here now for a short time. But there's coming a day, and that day's not far off, that we're going to be with the permanent family of God, each one of us, to live with him throughout all eternity. My friends, we want to be happy now. You need your life filled with happiness. That's what Jesus came for, that you could enjoy that abundant life right here and now. You don't have to wait till you die and say the misery's over, but you have to have the right perspective. You have to be looking unto Jesus every day, the author and finisher of your faith. If your life has not turned out the way you wanted it to, if you've been disappointed time and time again, if you're in a season of life now that you seem to be lost and you're in an identity crisis, you're no longer identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're withdrawing yourself, friends, forget those things that are behind and set as your goal in life the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the prize. I believe everyone here wants to endure or have enduring happiness, long-lasting happiness in their life. And I believe the Bible tells us that we can have that. He says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself. It lifts itself up above the Lord Jesus Christ. Against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity
every thought to the obedience of Christ. I tell you, the Bible tells us how to do it. God doesn't leave us to wonder. Not at all. But unless we're willing to set Jesus Christ as our goal. And as I said, I challenge you, just as Sister Jamie challenged me. You know, that's probably the greatest challenge that's ever been set before me in life. Because I'm a creature of habit. When you spend 40 or 50 years of your life doing something a certain way, change is not easy, but it's not impossible. By the grace of God, we can. We can change a lot of things. We can change our relationships with one another. We can change the relationships of our marriage if they're not what they ought to be. But friends, we must have a picture of Jesus Christ at all times. He must be the preeminence of our life. He must be first and foremost. Because the Bible says true happiness is embraced by people whose God, the God of heaven, is their Lord. He's the Lord of their life. He has charge of their life, and they're willing to do whatever He asks. They're submissive unto His will. God has promised to bless us when we do that. As we close today, I know every one of us want to live a happy life, and I know every one of us have had disappointments. We've had folks not treat us right. We've had jobs that we don't like. We've had medical afflictions. We've had children that have not done the things we want. We've had brothers and sisters that have turned on us, and on goes the list. This is nothing new. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. Every generation and every people have dealt with many of these same circumstances. But the challenge for you and I is to find happiness in the midst of all the difficulties that we're going to face. And it's in Jesus Christ. If we don't get up and begin to ask Jesus every morning to help us through the struggles of the day, to be with us. You see, until we get to the point of trusting the Lord with all our heart and leaning not to our own understanding, and in all our ways acknowledging Him, He promised to direct our steps. We don't know where we're going. Abraham didn't know where he was going. But Jesus promised to be with him wherever he went. And although we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will not fear evil in this life, because Thou art with us. Thy rod and Thy staff give us comfort. When Jesus is with you, you can bear the troubles of this life and still be happy, because you know one day you're going to meet those that you love and all the family of God on that golden shore to be with the Lord's people and with the Lord Himself forever. This is temporal. It's short-lived. It'll soon be over for each and every one of us. May we have that picture in our minds every day that we live. May we get up in the midst of adversity and trouble and see Jesus. That's what we need to do. We need to see Jesus, because He's our only help in this life. May God bless us to do that, and may God bless you to have a very happy year as we go forward into the year of 2016.